Barnes. Returning back today to the book of Philippians again in the chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll read from the verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add a blessing to the reading of his word. It is the latter part of verse 27. That we'll center our thoughts upon this morning, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's bow in prayer. Let's just take a moment to still our hearts before the Lord and pray for his blessing upon his word today. Heavenly Father, as we come once again around the pages of Holy Scripture, we realize, O God, again, just how much we need thee. Lord, each time we come to consider thy word, realize, O Lord, that these are not the words of men, but these are the words of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this day you'll take thy word, make it live in our hearts. Lord, would you be pleased to speak to our hearts today like never before? We pray, Lord, that we might be challenged like never before out of the Word of God. Lord, that this day thy Word will have free course and be glorified even within us. We pray, Lord, for help to speak. Lord, we pray for help to hear. And Lord, we ask, O God, that in the pulpit and in the pew, that we might know that God is here, we might feel his presence come amongst us today. Lord, speak to us. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. As we come to the latter part of verse 27, we take up the theme that we commenced last Lord's Day morning of walking the walk. You will remember how that in the first part of verse 27, we saw how that Paul encouraged the believers there at Philippi, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We noticed how that it was imperative for the people of God, the child of God, to live for God, to live as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. This was important because Paul was reminding the believers and reminding us that they are witnesses for Christ. How that our actions tell for him. How that the world watches the professing believer and they want to see if our faith is really genuine, real or not. You see, our lives are an open book before God. our lives are preaching a gospel. And as we concluded last week, we posed the question, what is the gospel according to you and according to me? Paul continues this theme in the rest of verse 27 and looks at how then this walk is evident and how it is seen in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. But before we go to consider these parts of verse 27, there's something very important that I want you to notice that must not go unnoticed, because in the part of the verse, middle of the verse, he says in verse 27, that whether I come and see you or else be absent. Whether I come and see you or else be absent. What Paul is saying here is, whether I'm with you or not, this is how you ought to conduct your life. Whether I am there in person with you, working with you, striving with you, laboring with you, or whether I am not there, this is how you are to live your life. In other words, he is saying, don't depend upon me for your Christian living. Don't wait for me to show up to love and to live for Christ. Don't wait for me to come to for you to show this commitment and this dedication in living for the Lord. Here again, Paul is reminding the church at Philippi that although they held this man in the highest of esteem and while he had the greatest of affection and admiration for the church, he says, it's not about me. The church must never be about one man or some man. It's only about one man, the man Christ Jesus. And they were not just to put on a good show when Paul was there, and then when Paul was away, just do as they pleased. They were not accountable, after all, to Paul, how they lived. They were not accountable as to how they conducted their lives to Paul, ultimately and only, they were accountable to the Lord. He says, don't just walk the walk when I am there. He says, whether I am there or not, walk the walk. Live for God. Live out your Christian life. You see, Paul was concerned that the people would not be followers of him. Otherwise, that would be a man-centered religion. But that they would rather be followers of the Lord. And folks, that is very, very instructive. Because there can be this tendency in the Church of Jesus Christ to follow a man and to focus upon a man. And no matter how good that man may be or how godly that man may be, it's not about a man. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to them here, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, whether I'm with you in person or whether I'm not there. Can I say today that as far as us as a congregation are concerned, we ought to live our Christian life and walk for God. And it doesn't matter who the minister is, and it doesn't matter who the particular preacher is in any given week. We are always to live out our Christian life before God. Folks, whether I'm in this pulpit or not, or whether I'm your minister or not, it makes no difference. That is how we are to live all the time before God and not before man. It's not about any man, save the man, Christ Jesus. And so, putting in that very important caveat there in verse 27. Let's go on to consider what Paul says in the rest of this verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I want you to notice first of all with me here that he speaks now about a commitment to the work. He has moved from the opening part of verse 27 to talking about a personal walk, but now in these latter phrases in verse 27, he's talking now collectively about the local church, about the collective witness and work of the local church as to how they are to conduct themselves, how they are collectively to let their conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So he moves from the individual in the start of verse 27 now to the collective in the end of verse 27. And he speaks, first of all, here of a commitment to the work. What he says at the end of verse 27, that ye stand fast. That ye stand fast. It means to resolutely stand. It means to hold your ground and not to let go. Even in the face of opposition or the face of danger or the face of oppression, he says, hold fast. Collectively as a church, stand fast, stand firm. This word in the original has the idea of a soldier who on the battlefield does not leave his place or his post of duty and service. And one who is determined to stand fast in the heat of the battle and stay by his post of service at all costs, even if it meant his life. And so he appeals to the church collectively, stand fast, be committed to the work. Two ways I want you to see as to how we are to be committed to the work. They were to be committed locally. Now remember, Paul was writing to a particular church in a particular location. He was writing to the local church, and he says to that local church there in Philippi, you stand fast in that one position. In that local church there in Philippi, do not desert your place or your post of duty. Don't desert the place where God has called you to. That place where you worship God and where you serve God. He says in that church in Philippi, that's where you are to stand fast. And beyond any other commitments or any other allegiances in any other places, he says, stand by the work locally and support the work locally in that local church. One of the big problems today is that of spiritual nomads. People who go from one place of service to another place and they don't want to be committed to one place of service. And they don't want to show commitment to any one church, and they want to sample different styles of worship, and they want to hear different preachers. Don't blame me for that. And they want to go here, and they want to go there. And they go everywhere, and there is no commitment. Paul is saying here in this one place where God has placed you, stand fast. Locally. Locally in that church in Philippi, there you stand fast and be committed. The language here is very strong. Very strong. He says, don't leave that place where you are. Don't abandon your post of duty and go somewhere else in some different area just for the sake of it. Oh, just because you want to change. And you want to sample different things. Maybe even go and see others, even other believers. No, he says, stand fast. Don't desert your place and your post of duty. In this local church, let's bring it locally here to our own congregation. In this local church, I appeal to you, stand fast. Stand fast. And folks, I fully understand there are a multitude of other places you could go to. And a myriad of other preachers far better than this one you could ever listen to, I understand. But if God has called you here, then stand fast. That goes for all of God's people. But I must say that it goes especially for our members and our office bearers. This is the church, locally, before any other church, that you and I are to be committed to. That's the whole idea of membership, that you want to be identified with this local church. You want to put your stakes down here. And beyond any other congregation, this is where you want to be. And as we start out in another term in the work of God, I appeal to you. I appeal to you. Be committed Sunday morning and Sunday evening, Thursday night by Thursday night, and any other service that you can attend to this local church. Stand fast. Paul talks there about hearing of their affairs. Paul says, I don't want to hear of spiritual nomads in Philippi taking a notion someday they're going to go off down the road to another church just for the sake of it. He says, where you are, where the Lord has placed you, there you stand fast. Be committed and stay committed to the local work. There is to be commitment locally. But another way that there is to be commitment is also doctrinally. Because when he talks there about standing fast, it also has the idea of holding fast to a truth. The conviction of a truth. And without compromising on that truth. This is something very topical for today. Because there are those who were committed to the truth of the gospel and to the truth of the Word of God. And yet today they're willing to compromise every truth that they've ever been taught for the sake of popularity and for the sake of progress. Paul says, stand fast locally, but also stand fast doctrinally. Stand by the faith of the gospel. You believe the truth of the gospel, that gospel which has changed you. Well then, don't compromise on that truth. Stand fast by that truth. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel, he said that. And you know, Paul could speak from experience. What was Paul doing? We've pointed out in the past how that Paul, at this moment in time, when he was writing to the church in Philippi, was under arrest in a prison cell. He had been declaring the gospel. He had been standing fast doctrinally by the truth of the gospel, and it brought him to a prison in Rome. He was still standing fast. He was not compromising or diluting the message. And as we pointed out in previous studies, how that even in that prison cell, he was still standing fast. He still wasn't ashamed of the gospel. In fact, his stand actually bolstered and strengthened the gospel. He calls for loyalty to truth. Over in chapter 4, and the verse number 1, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. So stand fast in the Lord. He's talking there about standing fast for the truth of the Word of God and the truth of the gospel of Christ. He's calling for loyalty to truth. And the Church of Jesus Christ today needs to be loyalists. We need to be loyal to the truth of the Word of God and not compromise on it. Galatians chapter 5. We turn back there for a moment. And you will know how that the Galatian church had erred from the truth. Paul has to write some very strong words to them at the very commencement of this chapter. It's one of those epistles of Paul that there's really no salutation or no welcome. He gets right into the very truth and heart of the gospel. He brings them to the cross because they have departed from truth. They've allowed themselves to be infiltrated with false gospel and false gospel preachers. He talks about another gospel, which is not another. And they hadn't stood fast doctrinally. And he says in verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 5, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast in the liberty of the gospel of Christ, that gospel which has released you from the chains of sin. He says, hold your ground. Don't compromise on the truth of the gospel. And if ever there was a day when the Church of Jesus Christ needs to hold fast doctrinally, it's today. It's today. We can be blown about by every wind of doctrine and every new notion that comes from some new thinker. We measure it all against the Word of God. The canon of Scripture is and will always be our only standard for truth. We need to stand committed to the truth of the gospel. That is what this denomination was founded on over 60 years ago. Standing fast when nobody else was willing to stand. Not compromising when many others were willing to compromise. And if God is going to use us again as a church and as a denomination, then we need to stand fast today. This commitment to stand fast doctrinally for truth also has the idea of standing against error and standing against the attacks and all the onslaughts of hell. Because I tell you this, well, you don't need me to tell you this. When you stand for the truth of the gospel, hell will attack you. In fact, if you're not being attacked by hell, then maybe you're not standing. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about the armor of God, and he goes on to detail and list all the various parts of the armor. What does he say? He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand. The whole armor of God to enable you to stand and to hold fast and firm to the truth of God's word and to the truth of his gospel. And to the entire congregation and to the entire church, he says, and he's not writing just to the leaders here. He's not writing to the oversight. He's writing to all the church in Philippi. And he says, you stand for the truth. But notice what he says in one spirit. One spirit. Now, I don't believe he's talking there immediately, initially, about the Holy Spirit. I believe he's talking about the Spirit within the church. The purpose, the drive. This is the church collectively standing together now unitedly. And again, we bring in the analogy of the soldier in the army. He says, stand with your fellow soldier. Stand in line, march in line. Don't fall out. Don't break rank. Don't be a maverick. Don't seek to cause division in the work of Jesus Christ. If a church is standing for truth and for the gospel, don't divide that church, but rather stand with that church. Stand fast in one spirit. You turn back with me, if you will, please, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in the chapter 32. And these opening chapters of the book of Acts is where Dr. Douglas will be centering many of his messages upon, most of his messages upon, in our Bible conference. But I just want to leave with you one verse in this thought. Acts chapter 4, in the verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And remember here, we're reading of a group of believers, many of whom are just newly saved. Many have just come to faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 in the verse 32. It says, the multitude of them. There's the collective church. The multitude. And what were they doing? In verse 31, we see they were praying. Oh, for prayer meetings like that. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. They had one spirit. They were driving and striving together now for the cause of Jesus Christ. They were united. Nothing else mattered to them. There was no personal preferences here. They were standing united now for the truth. They had such an enthusiasm and an excitement about the gospel. And they wanted then to go and share that gospel with others. And look at the consequences of this united stand in verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. They did the Lord's work by standing, but they also did the Lord's work by standing united, standing together. The old adage is true, a house divided against itself will not stand, will fall. And the Church of Jesus Christ today, we need to stand united because I tell you, the hordes of hell are united against the Church of Christ. They are united in their one purpose in order to destroy and to weaken and to devastate the Church of Jesus Christ. And today the Church of Christ needs to arise and stand united. And folks, that doesn't mean we're going to agree on every single bit of thought. It doesn't mean that we're going to be robots. But it means that we have one aim and one purpose, and we'll see that in a moment. They did the Lord's work by standing unitedly together. Christ desires the unity of His church. And you know, more than that, Christ prays for the unity of His church. You read that great high priestly prayer of John 17. He's praying for the unity of the believers, those whom He has redeemed. Those for whom Christ died, He prays that they may be one. And that they may be united. And this was Paul's desire as well. As we come back into Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 27, he says, stand fast in one spirit. One spirit. But doubtless there were many different personalities there in Philippi. Many different viewpoints and many different approaches. but they were willing to lay those personal things aside for the cause of Jesus Christ. Are you standing firm, fast, united? Standing firm locally? Are you standing fast doctrinally? There is to be this commitment to the work. But not only does he talk about a commitment to the work, I want you to see as we come to the end of verse 27 and our final thought now, there is to be a contending in the work. So having talked about the commitment and calling for the church together to stand fast in one spirit, he now talks about how they are to contend in the work. The end of verse 27, he says, with one mind, again the unity, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. There's a lovely picture there. That's a beautiful picture of how the church is to operate. Are we not laborers together? Are we not workers together? And Paul says here, you are to strive together. Sadly, there are occasions when the members of the church of Christ want to strive with each other. And personalities clash. And problems come. And they're not willing to lay those personality issues aside for the cause of the faith of the gospel. They don't see the bigger picture, though all they're concerned about is themselves. Paul says again, with one mind, strive together. Labor together, work together. There were issues in the church in Philippi. And there were matters that Paul had to address, and we will come to them. And there was division in the church. But he says we are to strive together for the gospel. It speaks of a focus, it speaks of an aim. It speaks of an end goal. The word striving there is where we get our English word athlete from. And it has the idea of the athlete working along with another athlete. It has the idea of team sports. Now, you may not be into team sports. Maybe you watch them. Maybe you don't participate in them. That's fine. But you know the whole idea. And that team, before they go out onto the pitch to play whatever game it is they're going to play, they'll have different thoughts, they'll have different views as to how they should attack and how they should win the game. But once they leave that locker room behind and get onto the pitch, they'll be united with one goal, with one aim, to win that game. And the metaphor is very clear when Paul brings it in here to this thought in verse 27 of striving together. We get on to the battlefield, and folks, this is a battlefield. When we get on to the battlefield, there is to be one aim, one purpose, and it's not about you or me, it's about Christ and his gospel. How is this to be achieved? Well, that's a whole subject in itself, and it is something that we'll come to in later studies in this chapter. But if I can just leave with you one verse in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. One mind. Striving, working together for the cause of Christ. And beyond our own personal thoughts or preferences or ideas, what matters today to the church of Jesus Christ is that we further the gospel. And that we seek to get the gospel out And that we go out into the communities where the gospel needs to be heard most of all. And that we seek to make an impact by our striving together for the cause of Christ. We're in a battle today. But the battle is not against your fellow believer. The battle is against the hordes and the forces of hell. That's the battle that the church is to be engaged in. And when we think of this word here, striving, it's a doing word, it's a verb, it's an action involved. You don't strive by doing nothing. You don't strive by just sitting at home and doing nothing. Or sitting in church and doing nothing any other time. There's labor involved. There's work involved. There's intensity in view. And as we face into another term in the work of God, there will still be battles to be fought. There will still be tough days ahead for us, big challenges that lie in front of us to reach the unreached, to fill up our children's work, to fill up the empty pews, particularly on a Sunday night, to see children, young people, older people being impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I say this, it'll take work. It'll take work. It'll take labor. Folks, I trust you're up for it. Because by the grace of God, and as He gives me help and grace, I will seek to do what I can to strive for the faith and the furtherance of the gospel. You see, we come back to a thought that we had a few moments ago, that this standing fast was even in the midst of opposition. And this striving as well has the idea of making progress even in the face of opposition and hardness as well. I have to be honest with you and say that there are times when the battle gets hot and heavy, there are times you just want to stay back and sit down. You've ticked enough boxes, you've done enough. Just cool off in your service and your striving for the gospel. That's exactly where the devil wants us to be. We get our eyes off the goal and we just go through the motions. And our enthusiasm for the gospel is dampened and our love for evangelism is waning. And just sit in churches and hope that people will come in. We need to go out and bring them in. Paul says, strive together for the faith of the gospel. Continually. Keep at the work. Get at the work. Stay at the work. The faith of the gospel, it all centers on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's a call here not to shy away from the preaching of the whole counsel of God, not to preach fluffy messages. Folks, can I ask you something? If you ever hear a fluffy message from me, will you give me a slap in the head? I have been called to this church not to tickle anybody's ears, but to preach the whole counsel of God. It may not be accepted and it may not be liked. And people might say, well, you need to ease off just a little. Well, folks, by the grace of God, I will stand and strive together for the faith of the gospel as long as the Lord gives me help. Are you striving together? Working together? Seeking to elevate Christ and lift up His person, His work, and bring people to the cross work of Jesus Christ? There's a message. Time's up. And time is up. In conclusion, are you striving? Maybe you did strive. You look back in your life and there were times you were bright for the gospel. You loved the gospel. You loved getting out onto the doors. You loved getting to God's house. You loved the Sunday evening meetings. You loved the prayer meetings. And you were striving. You were standing. You were committed and you were contending, but not today. Is it not time then that we rededicated our lives afresh to the Lord? What better time to do that than the commencement of another term in the work of God? May we go forward into this new term of work, united and committed. As a church, may we be as bright as the sun. And may we be as terrible as an army with banners. The opposition will not ease off. Therefore, we must not ease off. But rather that we must stand fast, one spirit, and with one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel. Will you stand with us? Will you strive with us? Labor with us, work with us to see the cause of Christ advanced. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, today for thy word. We pray, O Lord, that today as a church collectively we might walk the walk for God. Lord, that we will stand fast. Lord, that as a church and as a congregation we will hold fast. And Lord, that together we might strive for the cause and for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us that stickability. Give us that, Lord, commitment to the work of God. Lord, as we stand together, may we see the Lord use us and bless us. We pray, Lord, you'll speak to all of our hearts. And for those who have wandered, for those who have got away, to those today who are cold in heart, Lord, we pray that you'll burn within them once again the flames of a passion for the gospel. Bless thy word. Continue on with us now. In Jesus' name we ask all of these things. Amen.